Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Episode 3 of the Rebel Yell podcast. Kind of been left in the lurch tonight. Pete's got a sore tooth, poor Pete. Spencer's away in Europe watching football. So I asked Mr. Worthing to come along, but Gareth turned me down, so I guess you've got number two. Stu Evans is guest co-hosting tonight.
I like that name, mate.
What, Mr. Worthing? Yeah, come on, we know you're Mr. Worthing. You know, well, there's no point calling you Kit, man. There's no point calling you Coach. We've got so many job roles here. Keeper of the keys.
Yeah.
Hold on, Mr. Worthing, football
Mr.
club.
Jeez.
Stu, welcome. I mean, it's probably been a while since you actually kind of co-presented in the lockdown summer
specials
with
AJ.
Well, good old days. I mean, they were fun. They were a good laugh.
Healthiest and happiest I've been all.
Yeah, but now he's got the football back, and he's instead of being pissed off there's no football, he's watching when we get knocked out of the FA Cup. Stu, I've started off tonight. Obviously, we know last week, normally at the end of September, but it's just first week of October. We've had the one game in October. But as I said to you, I would have probably been divorced now because they realised I double booked my missus for the anniversary dinner last year, our 8th wedding anniversary. So I'm pretty sure if I said to her, no, I'm going down Worthing to record some podcasts, I might have been a single man right now. So here we are, first week of October, and unfortunately we're out of the FA Cup.
Yes.
Not the best start to the month. I mean, we knew a loss would be coming, but hopefully not in that thought, did we? You know, what was it like, you know, obviously being around the club? We know how upgutted you are. You hate losing it. You hate drawing either, to be fair.
I hate anything where we're not going away with 3 points, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't know. What was it like? Different, mate. We're not used to losing. And it's just a different feeling. I mean, it just didn't really, whatever we tried just didn't work. I think Hinch was being harsh on himself in terms of blame himself. I think the players like have to take a look at themselves as well. They just didn't turn up on the day, and it wasn't great. And I think we knew it weren't great, and just got to react now. I mean, the only way that you learn more off your losses than you do your wins, mate. And you just got to learn from it and just put it right. And the boys have had two really good training sessions this week, and in good spirits and some good signs. So I'm sure we'll put it right come Saturday.
I'm pretty sure this is what happened last season when we lost to Corinthians in the second qualifying round in that replay. Pretty sure it kicked them up the arse, didn't it? And we went on a really good run after that. So I guess that's the reaction. I mean, we'll hear from Hinch and, you know, Sammy, one of the men's players, later on, and you'll hear what they say is that, you know, it seems to be really good spirits and they're going into it. Do you think maybe something like that is a kick that they needed to like push on?
It sometimes can work that way, mate, can't it? At the end of the day, I mean, it can also work the other way, and it gets everybody's heads down, but I don't think they're that type of player. They're good lads. They want to kick on. They're not just here to take the money. They want to make an impact, and they want to make everybody proud and make the community proud and the club proud. So I can't see anything but a reaction come Saturday.
No.
yeah, it'll be a shock if it's not. As I say, we've looked at the clips, we've analysed Saturday's performance. They've, like I said earlier, had two really good training sessions, and they're just looking to kick on now, mate. Really, to be honest.
Yeah, no, and I think that's sometimes what you need. And hopefully, they come out of it because, yeah, you know, what we right, we didn't play at the weekend. We're fifth in the league right now because of that. We didn't play; otherwise, we would have been third. We're unbeaten. Right. I mean, it's October, Stu. It's like, you know, we in our wildest dreams would have dreamed of this position. Oh, but to, I mean, you look at Chesunt in comparison, like nothing against them. And, you know, we are a better setup than Chesunt by miles, but they're struggling at the bottom of the league with one win. I think everything else is a loss or maybe a draw.
Yeah.
And we're riding until this weekend. We're riding at third, unbeaten. It's dream unreal. World, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unreal, mate. I mean, it's testament to Hinch and Nath and to Cam and everybody here that they're working their socks off to make it happen. Obviously, it's not just the players, it's everybody at the club and people that people don't even know exist. So it's testament to everybody. But I think from my point of view, it's frustrating because I think there could have been more points on the board. We've dropped points where we probably should have won games, and equally maybe won points where we should have lost. Maybe I don't know, but yeah, I think there should have been more points on the board. But no, mate, we're loving it. We're enjoying the journey and the ride, and yeah, just taking it game by game. And so Saturday was a setback, but I'm just hoping, and I'm sure it is just a setback, and we can get back on that. Winning one again.
Well, I'm thinking Concord was probably a testament to that. Like, you should have put a game to bed. Ollie should have had like a hat trick. You know, it could have been 3 or 4 nil by 20-30 minutes into the game, and the game was dead.
Midnight, and I don't think we would have scored tonight, to be quite honest with you. I'm glad we didn't, because I'm really keen to get home. it's quite a distance, but it's like I say, it's testament to everybody, like the players and looking at it, like we're disappointed to draw games shows how far we've come as a club. Where we're not just scrambling for points, we're desperate to get wins, and testament to everybody, really.
No, it's fab. Player wise, you know, we've seen really good, like, you know, people coming together now. We're talking about like Kane and Sammy in the midfield area. You know, you're looking Callum and Ollie seem to be maybe on the up a little bit now. Ollie has scored obviously in the FA Cup against Slough, and it seemed to have fired him up because he got a couple of goals since then.
Yeah.
We all think from fans he needed something, because obviously for the season's top goal scorer last year, he's not been, and I'm sure if I spoke to him himself, not talking ill of him, I'm sure he's frustrated with himself this season.
Yeah.
But hopefully that has kicked him into gear and we start seeing Ollie the goal machine once again.
I hope so, mate. He's such a nice lad. He's a good person. And he wants the best for the club. He wants the best for himself as well. And it sometimes goes like that with strikers, doesn't it? You know, a bit of confidence. Confidence is massive. I know it sounds stupid, but confidence is massive in football. And if you're not bagging the goals in, then you're lower confidence, isn't you? But he'll push on, I'm sure. He'll push on.
So I mentioned Sammy. He's on the podcast. We'll talk to him in a minute, but great person to have around the team. He's already become a bit of a cult hero.
Yeah,
he's got his own couple of chants.
He's known as Posh Boy.
He said that's what he said. He came in and people called him Posh Boy.
We all would ask him how the funeral was and where he was sat in the during the funeral. But yeah, no, he's a lovely lad.
Was he not a pallbearer?
Yeah, exactly. No, he's a lovely lad. Again, like I said to you many times, mate, the Hinch has just put together a group of just really good people and players that want to win and aren't just here for whatever it may be, just the name of playing for Worthing. Do you know what I mean? They're good people.
Well, it's noticeable that they slot in well as a team. It could be quite like daunting to come to a team that have done so well in the past, and we managed to keep the majority of the squad. So Sammy has fitted in right well. Let's hear from Sammy now. He sat down with me earlier this evening.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
So apparently you are harder than Roy Keane and you're Vinnie Jones's dream.
Yeah.
We've got Sammy McLeod. Sammy, welcome to the podcast. Have you heard that chant on the terraces yet?
To be fair, I haven't.
No?
I haven't. No, no, no.
So you'll keep an eye for it now.
I will. Yeah. I'll listen out.
So you look quite shocked when I said that. I think you don't have a clue what I was saying there, do you? But that's from the away boys, but it's one of the sort of terrace chants. But I guess probably when you're in the game, unless you can actually hear your name, you don't really pick those up as often, do you? Unless it's especially a long one like that. So you've got to look out for it now, haven't you?
I will. I'll definitely, when I'm out on the pitch next time, 100%.
But surely that's a testament to you. You've been in the club now since the beginning of the season, and you know, to already have two, you've got two chants, not just one, you've got two chants. Yeah. That's pretty good for a player that's just come to Worthing. So what's that feel saying that to you now? It's pretty impressive, would you say?
To be fair, I'm buzzing about that. Yeah. I didn't even realise. Yeah. I've heard glimpses of the name.
You probably can hear it, but then you try and work out, but you're concentrating.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's weird, I'm buzzing about
you're harder than Roy Keane and you're Vinnie Jones's dream. So, you know, there you go.
Well, thanks for that, guys.
Sammy, welcome to Worthing. It's great to have you. You've really seemed to have slotted in well into a team that are doing really, really well, probably above all expectations that we've thought this season, because we went into the unknown. Mm. what drew you to Worthing firstly? What was it that came? Like, because I think, were you in Iceland just before this?
Yeah, I was in Iceland, sort of tried something different. Yeah. So obviously I've been in the, I'll tell you, the pro game for, you know, since I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, Charlton, then obviously Leicester and clubs like that. And I just thought, you know, I want to go abroad, live away from home,
yeah,
see what it's like. And
what was it like though, Iceland? Like,
it was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird. I mean, the football was good. It was full time. But it was just, yeah, I was living in the mountains. You know that Rocky film where he goes out to fight?
Yeah.
It was literally like that. There was no internet connection. It was all, to be fair, it was quite good.
Did they speak English out there? Or was it?
Yeah, they did. Which was handy. But no, it was, I know a few boys out there as well.
Yeah.
And they love it. They've stayed there for like 6-7 years. But I think I've come back because I want to, you know, make a name for myself. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, get promotion with this team this year and, yeah, you know, see what happens.
So what was it about? Was it the fact that, you know, you saw them winning the ISPN last season so convincingly? Obviously, the setup that Hinch has got here and everything like that. It must be a big draw to the club.
Yeah. I mean, I got invited to train with the boys and my first impressions, you know, they're such nice boys and I got on, you know, really well with them. And I think Kane caught my eye a bit when he was playing. I thought, you know, I'd love to play with that bloke.
Yeah.
And yeah, to be honest, he was a big reason that I came to the club, because playing alongside him, or even, you know, learning from him in training sessions, and even if I'm on the bench and see how he plays and stuff, because I think, you know, he's what's he, 32, 33 now, and he's played so many games in this league. And yeah, I just think he's a massive role model to look up to.
Well, we were excited when he came back, and you two, like, bossing around in the pitch, working together. It just shows really how well you two have linked up. And have you've never experienced Kane before, played with him at all?
First time. It's a weird one because, you know,
you just know each other's game already, and it's good to see.
It's sort of like a bond we have on the pitch. It's a good, you know, connection we have.
So I guess it is that thing in football, like you come to a new dressing room, and obviously Hinch has done very well to keep a lot of the boys that won the ISPN Premier and like been together for the last 2 or 3 years. Was it ever quite daunting to come in there thinking, hey, Siri, I mean, as a footballer, like, you've done it, obviously it's in your history, you've done it, for you have to do it sometimes.
Yeah.
But what was it like coming here? Because we've already seen this season that there seems to be that morale. It's almost better than it was last year. And you know, you watch training, you're all having a laugh, but in a professional manner. Have you felt like you've just been at home, like you've been here for years almost already?
Yeah, honestly, I think this is the best I've settled in at, you know, at any club, because everyone's so welcome and everyone's so, you know, you can have a banter with the boys. Yeah. I first came in and they're, you know, they're calling me the posh boy and they're, you know, they're bantering me and stuff. And it's nice. I mean, some clubs you go to and no one speaks to you and you have your own little groups and it's all a bit clicky, but you come here and it's like a one big family sort of thing. I mean, you know, it shows on the pitch as well, how well we work together and how well, you know, we move the ball and the understanding we have with each other. Yeah, I just think it's really nice environment to be in.
It is nice to see, and you know, you look and you never see those cliques, even in training, which is obviously when you would sometimes see. Obviously, you've got friendship groups, but that's natural within football. Yeah. But the fact you guys all chatting, all talking, and you know, when you know, we can talk about Saturday's result in the FA Cup, you saw how much it meant to all of you. Like, you know, this is normally September, but as I said, because of personal things about, I'd probably get a divorce if I didn't turn up for my anniversary meal. We meant to record this last week, but we've got the FA Cup in it this week. What was it like? Because it's the first loss this season. It's the cup that meant so much to the club, and we know, like, we want to have a cup run. And I forget what we're doing in the league, because we're doing brilliant in the league. But how was it? How did the guys take it? It must have been really hard. We could see it on your faces leaving the ground after.
Yeah. No, it meant a lot to us boys as well. Obviously, I know it means a lot to the fans as well. But yeah, it was tough to take. It was really tough to take, because I think, you know, on a different day maybe, we could have put a few chances away and we could have prevented both the goals. It was just a rubbish environment to be in rubbish dressing room to be in at the end of the game, because everyone was just so down. But again, come here Tuesday night, Thursday night, but we came here Tuesday night and it was so positive and everyone was, you know, upbeat. And I think we'll leave that behind. I know it's such a massive thing, the FA Cup, but we've sort of got to forget it now and move on and you know, look for...
I think it's good that we still got the trophy, because you know, that's a game. I mean, look what happened to Littlehampton down the road in the Vars last season. They got to Wembley, and you know, we got the biggest chance. I mean, you can't ever imagine Worthing getting to a cup, and it's the money side of things, but you know, you've got a massive chance in the trophy, haven't you, like this season?
Definitely.
And get some big fixtures, and that must be the focus for a cup run now, would you say?
Yeah, 100%. I think we need to redeem ourselves from the FA Cup to the FA Trophy, and hopefully we can have a a real good run in that.
Yeah, I know some of the vocal boys that, you know, made up your song and everything like that. He's dreaming of doing a big set of, like, signs behind the goal and everything like that at Wembley. So yeah, let's try and make that happen for Dino and the lads. So going right back to the very start, you said did you start your career at Charlton? Was it your youth career?
Yeah, early days.
Are you from South London area?
I'm from like East Sussex, like Crowborough, Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah.
I moved from Tunbridge Wells to Crowborough.
Yeah.
I'm from around that way. Yeah. I started at Charlton, and then went to Maidstone United. Yep.
How long were you at Charlton for? Was it until
two, three years?
Yeah.
And then I was at school, and my parents couldn't take me to training, and then I sort of faded away from that. And then just played locally for Tunbridge Wells, and then played as a schoolboy for Maidstone.
Mm-hmm.
Played their first team a few times. Been on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. Then I got, a surprise move to Leicester City.
Yeah, there. I saw that, That was around just after they'd won the Premier League, so it must have been a really good time to join the club.
It was mental, I mean, I first went on...
Dream come true almost, was it?
My first training session, believe it or not, because the 18s were away on the tour and the 23s had a game that day. So my first training session was 11v11 with the first team.
Wow.
And I was...
Pinching yourself.
Oh, it was mental. It was surreal, because I was... on Jamie Vardy's team, and all the boys were like calling him like Vards and all that, and I didn't know what to call him.
Yeah.
I was like, Jamie Vardy, and everyone was like looking at me like, hang on a minute, don't call him that. But it was...
You're showing respect though, aren't you? Because you feel you just said you don't want to start using nicknames. I guess you get like a reputation or something like that, you know.
Of course, yeah. But no, that was a mental time, really good time. I mean, I was on the bench for the first team, but apart from that, I played for the 23s and 18s, but never really made a first team appearance.
So you've obviously said you come back to England after. You played in Northern Ireland as well.
That was good, real good. Yeah, good experience. Like the fans again,
they're quite electric, aren't they? Yeah,
played in front of a lot of people, and again, it was a really good experience. Yeah. Something to hold.
So the goal is to grow, obviously, and you've seen what happened over the last few years with some of the players, and they've gone on to had Jasper Patton go to Wycombe Wanderers. You've had like David Adjaboy, he's now at Peterborough United. You've had like a whole load of players. Even Callum, who's up in like won the promotion to the National to the League Two from the National with Sutton. So I guess you must see that as part of the stepping stone. They were our club, but we'd like you to do it with us.
Yeah,
I mean, it must be like a massive sort of, especially getting a taste for it, what we've done so far this season.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've got the squad to do it as well.
Yeah.
And all the staff we have around the club and everyone involved. I think it's such a good, I said this so many times, it's such a good environment to do well. Yeah. Like everything you need to do well, we've got, So I truly believe in this team to...
Are you surprised how well we've got off the season or not? Not really.
I think we could do better. We could,
I think we've seen it from fans. We look at so many rude, with those draws. There's so many of those draws we've got that we could have just got that goal or missed that goal and we had the chances to win, and that must be where it's frustrating. But it's only turning the volume a little bit, isn't it? And then, that will be wins.
Yeah.
You must think if we sustain this for the rest of the season, there's a good chance of something happening.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I guess that's what's behind Hinch's goals as well. For the club, he wants the best for this club, and that's what we want as fans, don't we?
Yeah. I think Hinch, has a great impact on all the boys. Yeah. Pushes them. Everyone's doing a really good job.
We can see it from the stands. Before we wrap up, Sammy, I'd say to all the players, female, male, that come on the podcast, and tell us an interesting fact about yourself. So. Something, I'll put you on the spot. I never tell you in advance, that's what I'm going to do, because I like the reaction. But an interesting fact about yourself, keep it clean, it's a family program. I don't want to ruin my non-explicit rating on the SoundCloud platform.
An interesting fact about myself, I'll keep it clean. When I was at Colchester United, when I was at Colchester United, I had a car crash with a lorry head on.
Oh, bloody hell.
And broke my femur. So I've broken my leg before.
Wow.
But luckily, it was nothing to do with my knee. It was just a broken femur. So it's back stronger than ever.
So sorry, you're saying to me you had a head on collision with a lorry.
Yeah.
You really are harder than Roy Keane, aren't you?
I think you really are.
Sammy, thank you for joining us. Look forward to seeing you the rest of the season. I mean, you've really started in, so keep it up, mate. You look a cult hero already for some of the boys. So thank you very much. And keep it up. We look forward to seeing you for the rest of the season.
Thanks, cheers, mate. Appreciate Sammy. It.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Good to hear from Sammy McLeod there. Said one of the great additions that Hinch has put together in this squad. Stu, overall October, What are your thoughts? Obviously, we're buzzing that we're still unbeaten. As we said, there could have been a couple more times. What was your highlights of the month? Because for me, it was the Slough FA Cup game. I think the determination to come back from being 1-0 down with sort of 12 minutes to go to end up winning 3-1.
Yeah.
What a great determination for a team. And like you saw when Ollie and Callum got subbed on about 50th minute, they turned the game. Like, was that one of your highlights?
Yeah, mate. There's nothing quite like winning games late on. So yeah, that's probably one of my highlights, mate. But I'm just literally enjoying the ride, enjoying being part of a good competitive league. And yeah, there's many more memories to create moving forward, I'm sure.
100%. I said to you in the first, I think it was the first, or maybe the second edition of this podcast season, many changes, like, you know, being in a different league. Now you've done a few more games, a few more travels. Have you noticed much else, like, compared to, like, you know, the Isthmian and, you know, other clubs lower down? Have you noticed any changes, like the hospitality, you know, the way you set out on a match day? Is it any different?
My structure hasn't changed. I don't think the boards would want it to change either, to be honest with you. Nothing from my point of view. Obviously, infrastructure in some of the grounds, the Dartfords and even the Hemels, obviously you've got good quality facilities. The infrastructure has changed slightly. We haven't got some of the lovely places we used to go in the Isthmian Prem. There's some good places in this league. I'm just looking forward to seeing what else we've got in store.
You say these lovely places. I don't know if you saw what happened at King George's Field during the week. That, you know, obviously they porta cabins and all that, and massive trees falling down and condemned the ground. Over the porta cabins at Corinthians. King George's Field. Pretty bad. Yeah. I mean, it might be an improvement of the place. That was one of my favourite places to go. Not, but you know, you have to feel
I
sorry.
I did enjoy going there. A lot of the people.
They're so great people. You talk to Spencer, like, it was one of my ball ache of a clubs that I hated because they just always had got a result against us. But the people there were really good people.
I think I probably didn't like the place because we used to travel there sometimes.
Yeah, that's probably the same
thing. Owen Worsdale scoring a late minute winner there. In the cup game, I had some good memories as well.
So we'll get on to the youth in a minute, but let's hear from Adam Hinchelwood, who sat down with me as well to just talk about his October. And obviously, he was disappointed with the FA Cup early exit.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Saturday's FA Cup, let's get out of the way first. You know, it's the first defeat of the season. It hurts. We know it hurts. It hurts us. It hurts you. We saw you and the players after. You must have been really disappointed with that performance on Saturday. And, you know, just going out the FA Cup, like, when probably had the chances to take it and go on to the next round.
Yeah, no, I thought the first half an hour we played a little bit more like ourselves. The two games before, the away games, I thought it was excellent. Played some really good stuff. And then half an hour on Saturday was good. But, yeah, second half we didn't really, and I've got to take a lot of responsibility, the shape we changed to. Obviously, Cal getting injured was a big blow for us, having to come off at half-time. So we had to try and change things a little bit. We didn't really have any recognised striker as such on the bench, with Jav being cup-tied as well. Mm-hmm. We had to try and change a few things. It didn't really work, if I'm being honest. We've changed it a few times this year that has worked, but on this occasion it didn't. So take full responsibility for that. And just the performance in general, I thought, was disappointing. Mm. I thought there's not too many players that would say they was had a good game.
No.
And it was a collective, myself included. We was way off where we the standards that we set for ourselves. Great one for us to learn, analyse. We've done that. We've spoken about the players, about what we see and how I felt the game went. That's all we can do and improve. And sometimes I think, like, when you're scoring late on in games and last-minute winners and stuff and you win, it sometimes masks the fact that there is a lot for us to still improve on. And, you know, one thing that we've got with the players here is, you know, that desire and work ethic. They work tirelessly again tonight, again Tuesday night. They've worked their socks off and try and take everything on board and just try to improve each game. So disappointing, but waffling on now. But at the same time, we'll take a lot from it.
No, but it's fair play to say, like, the whole team, yourself and the team, take responsibility for it. You're not blaming certain players because, you know, we know sometimes you don't get it right, and you're first to admit that. So fair play to you. I mean, Callum coming out of it, is he still injured? Is he picked up, or will he be back this weekend?
He didn't train Tuesday.
Yeah.
Was a lot better today and trained today. So hoping that he might be
maybe
available.
Maybe not starter, maybe available
from the bench, but should be able to be involved for us, which would be a huge boost.
So we're still unbeaten in the league, which, you know, speaking to you last month, I know you said that there's improvement could happen. we're still unbeaten. You must be pleased. Like, or do you think there's still room to work? And, you know,
I thought the two away performances, Concord and Hemel, we played excellent. I've got to say, I thought we was really good.
We were unlucky at Hemel, I thought. Yeah.
Stand of our play, the chances that we created.
Yeah.
I think we could have been 3-0 up inside 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they changed their shape and made it a little bit difficult. And, you know, we gifted them the goal with a penalty. And then from there, it was tough to sort of break them down. But, you know, we should have really put the game to bed inside 20 minutes on that day. And then, Concord away, I thought he was excellent. Again, created some chances. We had open goals where the ball's coming across the 6-yard box at pace and we've hit the bar on the post. And, you know, on another day, you win that quite comfortably. So I think we've dropped a couple of points where we should have definitely took all three. But like in the main, I think I look at our performances in the first 10 league games and relatively pleased with the majority of our play.
What were you like, nearly a quarter way through the season? And we know, obviously, with the FA Cup this weekend, we're sitting now in fifth because we didn't have a game. That's not a bad showing, is it?
No, not too bad. But like I say, I think we'll be disappointed with how certain games have gone. Obviously, there's games where we could have gone behind and Harrison's kept us in them. And we then struck late at Dartford and Weymouth. We got a goal from a set piece and then they had to open up and we got a couple late on there. Obviously, rode our luck a little bit. But I think, you know, those two games, those two draws, we feel like we should 4 points worse off than what we should be.
Really. Well, we've noticed seem to be the comeback kings almost. You know, we're leaving it late. You know, that we can talk about a fun time in the FA Cup this season was against Slough away. I mean, what character the team showed there to finish 3-1 winners when 10 minutes earlier we were looking odds on to be out of that game. I mean, what is it that the team are doing that are managing to sort of get that last burst of energy to finish the game and kill it at the end? Because it seems to be happening a lot of the time. You know, is it just because we're a fitter bunch and we're running the other team off the pitch and you're like playing out from the back is working really well? Because it just seems to be it's just great and so exciting to watch.
Yeah, I thought it was the case on that game. I thought Slough really did, you know, get through some work. They pressed us hard from the start of the game. And it just felt like watching it 70 minutes in, last 50 minutes of the game, there was a few players that were dead on their legs and, you know, giving their all and didn't have much more to go. So it really felt like we could get a goal. And I think also having the freshness of Cal and Ollie to come on.
Well, that's what we thought. Yeah, it just turned the game around, bringing them on half time? No, about 50 minutes.
Yeah, and like when the team's got through the amount of work they have, to have those two players to bring on was, you know, a massive boost for us to have. And, you know, it's something that we've got to look at more often, to have those options to come off the bench. You know, I don't like tinkering too much with the back line. I like to make my changes in forward areas if possible, and always like to be on the front foot in games. So, yeah, I think that had a real impact, to have that kind of quality on the bench to come on and they could have a real impact. So, I'm glad it works on that day.
Well, one thing we've noticed as well, you say you like tinkering a bit, like that Sammy and Kane in that centre of the pitch, they just seem to be working so well together. You must be pleased with that bit of business you've done over the summer because I think that is going to be a massive part of us going forward.
No, definitely. I've got to say, I'm really happy with how we can rotate. I think we've got three excellent centre-halves. I think we've got three excellent right-backs and we've got three excellent holding midfield players.
Mm.
Danny Barker come in against Concord and looked a lot more like himself. Back to the old Danny Barker. It's taken a while. We missed a bit of pre-season with his hamstring injury, but he was excellent. And yeah, obviously for those positions, like the two holding midfielders, we've got normally two centre-backs at the moment, two full-backs. So there's always going to be one of those excellent players missing out. So try to rotate them as best we can to keep them all fresh. And that seems to be working at the moment. Yeah. But like I say, obviously Joel's going to be out for a bit now. So then JB and Tutty might get a bit more of a run.
Yeah.
But we've got some good quality youngsters to back that up as well. So, I still think we're starting to find our feet in terms of the squad. Mm-hmm. I think there's still a little bit of improvement in certain areas that we need. So we've still we're creating a lot of chances and not quite taking them. So, and in the last, three games, we've struggled to score more than one goal.
What do you think that is? Do you think it's just like, you know, are they fearful of trying something, or, you know, is it just the experience from the like national South clubs and compared to us, and we're just learning, would you say?
Yeah, maybe. I think, like, other than those two games as well, it's a case of not getting as many chances as well, you know, playing against better opposition. You've got to be more clinical when you get chances, you've got to take them, sort of thing. So, you know, but like I say, in those two games in particular, and like the first 10 games, league games, I would say 80% of our play has been very good. And, you know, we've got to still, like I say, lots for us to improve on and work on. But happy with how the squad sort of gelling together. And like I say, Sammy's been excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent signing.
I mean, you've got to say, though, you think the teams, okay, we haven't got the 3 points in some of them, you feel like, so you dropped some points in those games. But a lot of these teams that we've already faced this season were in the playoffs last year. So, you know, from a club that came into the unknown almost, that's a pretty good achievement, I'd say.
No, yeah, definitely. Yeah, like I say, the players have been excellent. And we've got some real quality in this club. 100%. You know, the amount of times this season we come off the pitch and other managers and coaches and that have said, what a team you've got there. Mm. And, you know, I honestly believe that as well. We play some really good stuff. I 90% of the time enjoy watching us play.
Yeah, it's always that frustrating 10%.
Didn't enjoy
the
second
half. No, I didn't either. No,
we didn't. We didn't create nothing. Didn't give the fans anything to cheer about. And it's very unlike us. But, majority of the time, you know, the we've got a good squad and good players.
Well, it's like Sammy said, you came into training on Tuesday and he was just so impressed that everyone was like in good spirits. It wasn't any hangover from Saturday. Yeah,
no.
You got the frustrating out of the way, but we're in good spirits to push forward, and that's what you need to do after bounce back, because inevitably we're going to have losses this season. You know that full well. I'm not surprised, but I am almost surprised we haven't had a loss in the league so far, but it's just a testament to what you and the coaching staff are doing. So, you know, it's brilliant.
No, yeah, we try to just, you know, I feel like put a bit of pressure on the boys in terms of you know, showing them our stats and stuff, and I think we're top in the possession stats, top in passes, top in I think we're third in the amount of crosses that come in the box, but when it comes to goals we're quite a way down, and shots on goals we're quite a way down. So try to just show them stats and give them, look, there it is, it's there in black
and
white.
Get that up and, you know, we'll be winning games.
Exactly. But you know, I don't know, on the flip of it, they're quite young players. They might go the other way with it and see it as a bit of a negative. So try to be positive off on Tuesday. Got them into three teams. And like I say, the tempo and everything of training was superb. The lads really go for it. I don't never have to motivate them to train hard and stuff like that. And that is like testament to the players.
Yeah.
And they're a great bunch to work with. Thoroughly enjoy coming into training and working with them.
It's a pleasure to watch on the pitch when we're just waiting to do these interviews. You can see the morale, the banter, you know, the professionalism. It's what you need for a team, don't you? I mean, you say possibly you're going to be adding anyone in the next few weeks at all. Is there like put things on the horizon possibly to add to that quality?
We've had a couple more sort of trialists come in. I'm getting to this sort of stage now where we want to just get a settled squad.
Yeah.
So there might be a couple of ins and outs
still
to happen. But you know, that's only where we're trying to improve and get better. And we don't want to stay still. Like I say, we're so close to competing with the top places. It would be stupid to not look at players if they were come available to us.
Yeah, so, of course.
Yeah, there's, like I say, I'm really, really happy with large parts of the squad. I think we've got three outstanding fullbacks, three outstanding centre-backs, three outstanding holding midfielders. And arguably, they've positions that have been arguably our best players in this season, 100%. Along with the goalkeeper.
Harrison's been great. He's really adapted well, hasn't he? He's kept us in so many games, you know.
And I've been pleased with the, how a majority of the squad have handled going up a level. Some of them really embraced it and really improved and took to it. So, we're just trying to... I still think there's one or two more that are, you know, still to get there, and they will, and you know, when that happens we'll be better for it.
Now, I haven't spoken to you about it. I think it was literally just after we recorded the last podcast. Obviously Marvin Armstrong's left the club now. Was that a surprise? Did that come about really quickly?
Yeah, really quickly, to be fair.
It was literally like right at the beginning of September or the end of August, right? It was transfer deadline, wasn't it, though?
No, it was. Just
surprised
Barnett, a little bit, but I can't fault the lad for making the jump up, going into full-time. You know, Barnet are historically established Football League club, you know, so that's what he's sort of gone to, and you can't fault the lad for trying it there. I don't think he's played as much games as he would hope for, but yeah, he's worked his socks off. The amount of times I've been having one-to-ones down here with Marvin, and he'll travel all the way from London, he'll put in the effort. So when they do that and they get the opportunity, you're just delighted for them and hope they can kick on. But it's testament to the players he's got in around him, and I'm sure there's more with ambition like that as well, and that's what we want.
So the FA Trophy start this month, or is it next month?
Can't remember. We come in probably in the next round.
Yeah, so it might be
FA Trophy this weekend.
So maybe it's the end. I think there's a gap in the calendar in October. Well, so
yeah, it might be a draw. Yeah, or the first draw week. It might be Monday.
Yeah. So cup run for that. Is that what your next target is now? I know. Every season you always say you want a cup run. I mean, we've got to do it now. I mean, you must see, as we said last year, Littlehampton get into the final. I know you went to the game. You must love to think one day, imagining Worthing, see the Worthing colours up there.
Yeah, that's you know exactly what you're doing when you're there watching Littlehampton play in the Vars final. You know, imagine what it would be like for Worthing to be there, and the amount of fans that we would take, and how good that experience would be. So, you know, that's a realistic dream. You know, in the trophy, now we're only one step behind the actual top teams that come into the competition. I think we've got enough quality to be able to think that we could do well in it. But at the same time, a lot of teams would do the same. And Hornchurch, obviously.
Bloody Hornchurch. Winning it. And they're top of the league below again, you know. We better not talk too much about Wembley, because I know Dean will be listening to this and he gets excited to think about planning a sort of tifo for behind the goal at Wembley. Let's take each round each time. Adam, good luck for October. Look forward to speaking to you at the end of the month. And fingers crossed we're still unbeaten by this time.
Yeah, hopefully.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Obviously, as we said, the FA Cup going out that early, I know it means. What is it, Stu, that the club, why do people want a cup run? Is it purely for the money, or is it the glory, or is it getting possibly a TV tie here? What is it for you, personally, that you want?
What is it for me? I don't know, mate, really. I mean, a cup run is always nice. Seeing how far you can go in it, it's just like the clout of playing some big teams in some ties I guess that's what it is. The money doesn't really affect me too much, and obviously it affects the clubs, which is great, but for me it's just going to some teams that are outside our league, and some big names would be nice. Getting a big name here would have been
nice. Brilliant, wouldn't it?
Still be nice if we the next trophy, but
are you praying for an appearance on a Made in Wrexham or something like that, or whatever it's called? Definitely nominating you for speaking to talk about cup runs. Obviously, we have got the trophy coming up soon. Hinch said he thinks it's going to be this week. The draw might be made after this weekend for the next round when we go in. It would be good for cup tie, because as we said all along, we saw what they did down the road in Littlehampton, in the Vars. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing for you to be putting out the kit in that Wembley dressing room? You've done it in the Amex now. Surely Wembley's the next target for you.
Yeah, obviously it would be great, mate. But
it's achievable though. It's not like the FA Cup, you know. FA Cup's money.
I guess it's achievable.
But
of course. Yeah, I mean, mate.
That's got to be your dream now, though.
Dream? Yeah, it'd be nice.
You just want that big lanyard around your neck, don't you, Stu Evans?
It would be nice, mate. The whole day with the Amex was a fantastic occasion for the club, and obviously we put up a really good fight, and showed what we were all about that day, and made a few people stand up and take notice.
100%.
So, I think it's just that, getting to a final and just, having that day out would be great.
Moving on to the youth setup. Disappointingly, we are at the FA Youth Cup already, aren't we? I mean, you must be gutted about that, because after what happened last season, bringing Charlton down here and, bringing a big club, you must have been gutted.
Yeah, really disappointed.
Who was it against again? What was it?
Kingstonian.
A game that should have been won, do you think, or were they pretty good?
No, they were all right. I mean, we just... The problem we've got... That's not a problem, but it's the situation we're in this year with the 18s is we've got a lot of first years. So where the immaturity is shown in terms of decision-making in certain situations, where last year we had a good crop of second years that would guide the first years through. This is pretty much the other way around, but smaller amount of second years, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's just a bit of immaturity of how to manage certain situations. Probably cost us And then when you go into penalties, it's just anybody's game, isn't it, really? Yeah, obviously disappointed. But the boys will learn so much from it, mate. And they have done already. I mean, the performances since that game have been really good. So
so
it's fine.
No, that's how are we doing in the league youth-wise? What your age group, how are you doing so far this season? Obviously, you say you've got a load of new scholars and everything like that. Or not scholars, but, you know, new youth team. How are they doing so far? Because I've seen that they're getting the results, aren't they?
Yeah, all the teams are doing really well, mate. Starting from the 14s all the way up.
Stu, you're going to have to climb up.
Yeah, I just noticed that one guy up
there. We're just watching the girls train, and Stu's climbing on top of the St Elmo Road end.
I don't know if Stu will be doing that. the 14s and 15s, 16s are doing us really proud, mate. Obviously, we've collected with the youth teams new players, and so it's taken a bit of time for them to get used to each other and how we play and what's expected and the standards. And the standards are important. Standards are massively important. The principles, what we try to insert into them off the pitch as well as on the pitch. So it's taking a bit of time, but they're all doing really, really well. 16s, who I predominantly stick around because I'm trying to get them ready, as many of them ready for the 18s. We're currently, I think, third or fourth in the league, having won two and lost one. So we've had a really good start to the season. Mate, everything's in a really good place. Really, really good place.
No, it's good to hear. And obviously, we know that's the pathway. It's the future. These are the players that we hopefully will be seeing. Because as you said, you're having to look, when we got the promotion from Eastman, you're going to have to look at those players that could step up to the national level now, because that's a natural progression.
It's even
more
bigger
than that now, yeah?
Yeah, it's even bigger, mate. Where before, the gap was big anyway for the youth team players to get into the Eastman Prem side and into a team that's fighting to win the league. Actually now it's even bigger because we've got, obviously they're trying to get into a National League South side. So that's even more responsibility on us as coaches to make sure that we give them everything they need, but also for them as well, is just trying to, they've got to realise that they've got to work hard on and off the pitch as well.
100%.
And there seems to be a lack of responsibility taken from them off the pitch. So they think they can come into training. And to a certain extent the 18s as well, not just the 16s down, but the 18s as well, they can come into training and that's it. They're almost like they've got a given right to go into the first team. They have got to work their socks off the pitch. They've got to go to the gym, they've got to eat well, they've got to look after themselves well, they've got to sacrifice. I was listening to a podcast from Peter Crouch the other day, and he was saying that when he was a youngster, he used to go off and say to his dad, "I want to go to a party." His dad used to say to him, "Okay, but you won't make it as a pro footballer." And every time he asked, he had the same response. And Peter Crouch never went to these parties and made these sacrifices. And the boys have got to do the same.
It's a temptation, I guess, to do it, because that's what you do as a teenager. You go on to go parties, but 100%. You want to make it, you want to take it seriously. You've got to go and make sacrifices now, because you'll reap the rewards when you're a bit older, when it probably matters. Because I know, you have these, they're going, grown up, they're just going things like girls, boys, whatever, and you think, actually give this a go, because I'd rather have a nice career and do what I want to do, and those parties and those things will come in the future.
Just have to wait. They have to make sacrifices. I mean, obviously you've got to have that life football balance, but they have got to make sacrifices. They've got to appreciate that, actually, at least opportunity to, and I keep, every single time we're going to change them, whatever age group, I say to them, you're going out onto that pitch and representing the third biggest club in Sussex.
Yeah.
And a club that's going
only
places.
The third.
I was thinking Crawley, Brighton.
I don't know. They're below us, definitely below us, mate.
Second or third biggest club in Sussex.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree there. I guess it's a learning curve for yourself as well, isn't it? Because obviously you're now, as a coach of this youth setup, you're looking probably at a higher level than you were maybe last year, and it's pushing yourself up to those levels.
I'm constantly learning, but constantly, trying to... It's more the standards that I'm looking for. So the technical side of it and... the technical side of the game, obviously I'm there to coach that and support that, but we're lucky to have Inch and Nath here that all are one step ahead of me. I'm looking for the standards, I'm looking for the principles, I'm looking for their attitude, to make sure that's right, their work rate, their desire, and that's what I'm pressing myself. So I'm always learning and pushing on, mate, really.
We're talking about pushing on, like we're here right now, the girls have just finished training. They're coming to the end of their training session. Mm. What a start to the season they've had as well.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, mate. They're such good... John and Kelly are good people as well, and I couldn't do enough for them. So, they've had a really, really strong start to the season.
I mean, they're actually the only team left in the FA Cup at Worthing.
They're doing us proud as well. I came down and watched them the other week, because it's Sundays and afternoons are pretty much my only time off.
Mr. Worthing.
Yeah, I tend to go home on the Sunday, but I stayed and watched their game last week.
What, from your hut?
No, from up here, actually. Oh, I sat really? Down here. And, actually, there's some really good footballers there. Some really good footballers. Yeah, no, playing some good football.
Well, so. You'd see, like, you know, we've got John who said, like, you know, we've attracted players that were paid before from maybe other clubs, and they're not, obviously, the structure here, they're not paid. You know, hopefully that would be a position in the future. We can start paying the players, but, you know, unbeaten in the FA Cup, convincing wins. You know, it's just, as you say, it's just part of the whole culture of this club. It's just winning. And, you know, it's so nice to see the women getting where they are.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100% it is, mate. I think you've hit the nail on the head. The culture of the club is winning.
Yeah.
And when we don't win, it's very hard. It's difficult for some people to react to it. Yeah. You don't know how to react to it. Obviously, I heard a bit of booing on Saturday. And
was there?
Yeah. I heard some booing on Saturday. And I understand it because we didn't play great. And I
it's think frustration, just, but you don't boo.
I think we've just spoiled. We've spoiled the fans. And obviously,
when was the last time we lost?
Yeah, exactly. I can't
Horsham?
Remember. Horsham, probably.
I think it was.
Yeah.
And Easter Monday?
It's weird. It's just, it's in our nature to win. And yeah, we learn from the losses. But the club in it is... I know I pretty much repeat myself every time I speak to you, but the club's in a really, really good place. Yeah. And at the moment, it's almost a case of, no, you need to slow down rather than keep going. And it's the other way.
Yeah. Well, it's about 5.5 months without a competitive loss. That's not bad going, is it? I know maybe it's summer, but, you know, it's frustration because, you know, you just listened to me on Rebel Yell on Saturday and, you know, it's just a pure frustration because I think that we, as you said, like, you know, it's the glory of being in the FA Cup and possibly getting, like, maybe we were talking prematurely about thinking about the BBC in that corner, you know, Dion Dublin on the pitch, it would have been amazing.
It's lovely
to
dream, mate, and it's lovely you're thinking about that because it shows how far the club's come. Yeah. I think sometimes, though, for me personally, it's just my opinion, sometimes you just need to take a step back.
Yeah, of course.
And I have to as a coach as well because I'm thinking, right, how can I be like Nath? How can I be like Hinge?
Get too excited.
I need to sit back and go, right, okay, you've actually come quite far anyway. So it's the same with the club in general.
So going back to women's team, they're on the draw for next round. They're playing Richmond, a team that I think John said's in the league below, same level as they were at that Leatherhead were at. So it's a good chance to get into next round. And this season, they've got a lot more money coming into the club. I think it was £3,000 for winning that round. So, you know, compared to last year, we're at £300.
So that shows how well the women's football's gone in general with the Euros and the World Cup.
100%. The World Cup's next year. It did come home. We'll talk to John now. John sat down with me earlier this evening and gave his thoughts on the season so far. We haven't spoken to him for a couple of months.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
John, it's been a couple of months since we joined you. You were on your jollies last time. All nice and relaxed.
Yeah.
For the long season ahead now.
It is, you know. You forget that, you know, early October, so you've still got a few months to go.
Well, it's like first time I've been down here on a Thursday night and it's dark now and it's quite depressing, isn't it? At least the rain's holding off tonight because that's when it's the worst time to go training. John, we digress, but what a couple of months it's been for you and the women's team. Yep. What are your initial thoughts?
I think the players have got together really well and you know, I suppose they've supported what we've been trying to do. You know, they're understanding how we're trying to play and they're, you know, doing it very well at the moment on the pitch.
So opening day, you played Dartford, which you knew was going to be a big game. We didn't win at all last season against them. No. So you had a determination to get a result from that. And
we played
what result
them
four
times. Four times we played them last season and lost every time. So it was nice to get that one, that win under our belt. It's still a very strong team. And again, our midfield necks were a little bit sore from looking at the ball being pelted down our throats. But, you know, second half, we obviously got the winner and scored a good goal just before half time. So, it was a good game.
And one of the other standout ones, I think, from you and speaking around the club would have been the Ebbsfleet game as well. That's another big, big game. Because, am I right, did they get relegated last season? Or
So they've invested. I think they're investing in men's teams.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The pitch was beautiful, to be fair. So a little bit disappointing in the first half. We didn't play as much football as we could have done. We looked a little bit nervous. So hopefully the players have come out of that game and now going, actually, if that's one of the top teams in the league, we're easily as good as them.
Yeah.
So a bit more confidence, hopefully, going into some of the tougher games that we've got this season.
Yeah, I mean, right now you're unbeaten in the league. You're still in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Show the men's up for that, can't you? You have a little bit of hoo-ho with Adam, can't you? Do you think, you know, it's early days yet?
Yeah.
You know, obviously you're starting to, it's October, you're starting to make your mind sort of like thinking how the season's going to pan out.
Yeah.
Long way to go, but you must think it's sustainable now. This can still carry on, and you're going to be in a strong position towards the end of the season with those goals you talked about in our first episode.
Yeah, well, if we can keep fitness, if we can keep focus, you know, we don't want any complacency to come in, because, you know, we want to make sure that we're going to be successful in every game. You know, we should, you know, be better positioned than we were last season.
Yeah, because that was a goal. And, you know, that was, I guess, the goal for you, attracting some of these players to the club. What do you think's clicked? Like, because it just seems that, like, you know, you're getting those results where maybe last season you might not have got that lot sort of winner when you've gone behind. What do you think is? Do you think it was just those one or two players that you're lacking in positions and depth that maybe you've added to the squad over the summer?
Yeah, I think last season we were quite a young team, a team that was learning and developing.
Yeah.
Obviously, we as coaches were learning about the players that we had. And we had some very good players. So this season, we've looked to add more players with the right attitude, the right application, players who want to be more successful. So, you know, we've not promised them anything other than, you know, we're going to try and work hard, and we're going to try and, you know, achieve as best results we can this season, but play some good football. So, you know, we've got stronger this season because of the experience for the players who were here last season and the additions of some players who understand the level and what it takes.
I guess, although this is a September's review and obviously a couple of months for you guys, FA Cup, convincing win against Leatherhead.
Yeah.
Cup run on the cards for you this season? Like, I mean, how does it work in terms of women's game? Obviously, the men's game is quite key to getting money in for the club. Is it the same with the women's game? Obviously, it's probably less, as always that thing, or is it equal out? Or,
well, the FA have invested, so whereas if we'd have won this round last season, we'd have probably got something like 350 quid.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got £3,000 for winning the game.
Wow.
So I think it's gone up like tenfold this season. You know, it's still nowhere near the men's. I think it's only £100,000 for whoever wins the FA Cup.
Yeah, it's more of a title, isn't it? Yeah, sort of glory.
But what it does do is, last season, some clubs were dropping out when they got picked against teams far away because they'd had to get a coach. They might have had to stay over. It would cost them like 1,500 quid to play a game in the early rounds, and it would have
knocked them
brought
out
in about 500 quid. So they couldn't warrant doing that. So this season, it's enabled that hopefully not to happen.
Yeah, and I guess for you, it's a fake, because we've always said how much the women's team need investment in the club.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, getting, you know, you're winning this round and then hopefully the next round, it's going to just help the women's team grow, surely.
Yeah, I think, you know, we still start the season where we need to bring money in to be able to run the team. So that hopefully gives us that income a little bit earlier, so we can start thinking ahead in terms of what we need to do. But, you know, we're probably not going to win the FA Cup.
Oh, you never know.
So, yeah, we'd like to get through as many rounds as we could.
I mean, I think
Richmond away.
Yeah. Richmond away. Where are they in the sort of
football?
They're
in the same league as the team we played.
So, hopefully, you know, you'd like to think. I mean, you can't. Cup game's a cup game. You can't say, you know, the magic of the FA Cup. But, you know, the more rounds you get on, naturally, the interest around the club grows. I mean, last season, we got drawn to Charlton Youth at home.
Yes,
and you saw how many people turned up for the youth team.
Yeah.
Hopefully, that could be for the women's team sometime this season. And, you know, I'm already seeing you're beating teams like Chichester City in the men's league with attendances on the Sunday compared to what they get on a Saturday sometime.
Yeah.
So something's happening that, you know, people, we're getting this investment with, like, the mascots and, you know, that you're drawing it to the club.
That's key. The young people, girls, boys come along and watch us, bring their family. They recognise it's a good afternoon out for them. Lovely pitch, hopefully some good footballs, a few goals. So, you know, it's an enjoyable occasion, and that's all really we can try to do. And hopefully that will bring more people in to watch.
Yeah, I mean, exciting football. I mean, I've already heard, I haven't been able to get down, unfortunately, this season, but there will be times where I will be. But from what I've heard on match reports, a couple of my friends have been down. They said it seems to be a much improved team, and it's more enjoyable. Not it wasn't enjoyable, but, you know, a more enjoyable game to watch now.
Yeah, it was learning last season.
Yeah.
It was learning.
Well, it was a new start, was it? Yeah. A new league. It was building on what Michelle had done in the past, and you're just building it now.
Yeah.
But this Richmond game, when is it? Is it this month, October?
Yeah, it's the 23rd, so Sunday the 23rd.
At home?
So we're away.
Oh, okay.
So we got two away games. Saltdean on Sunday, Dulwich away the week after, and then we got an away game again against Richmond.
So you're getting the miles in.
Last season, we've got drawn quite a few home games in the FA Cup, but they've done it the other way around.
I was just saving it for the big crowds. You go when you get to next. The next round, is it a second qualifying round?
Third qualifying round. Yeah. So if we win this one, we go into the first round proper, and that's where some third tier three teams come in as well. So.
Is it like the same as the men's FA Cup, like round threes when you get like the Man Cities, the Uniteds?
Tier three teams come in at the first round, and then the third round would be like the Super League and the Championships.
So good. Something to look forward to, and fingers crossed, John.
Well, let's hope so. Yeah. You know, it's good that we've been able to play some games in a row now, and we've probably played all the squad, have got some good minutes now, so that's key, really.
No, it's great to see, John. Good luck for October, and fingers crossed we speak at the end of the month. We're in the next round, the FA Cup, for maybe a bit more of a glamorous tie somewhere.
It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Be good. John, take care.
Thanks.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
It's good to hear, Stu, that John, you know, he's really, you can tell the passion behind it, you know, tell the way he's got, I mean, you see it now, he's got those girls, they're looking to him, you know, for that guidance, and Kelly as well, you know, they really, man. And you know, if we can keep on doing that in the Cup, you know, we are attracting these players, like, you know, that it's just going to come better and better. And you know, can you imagine a double promotion celebration? I'm stepping ahead of the game.
Yeah, like you said, take a step back.
Take a step back. It's only October. Talk about it in November.
Let's just stay up and make sure we stay up first. I mean, I thought that John's an amazing bloke. He's a passionate guy. Yeah. He's dedicated. I can't speak highly of him, but I think that passion and that desire in your voice sells it to the players, you know what I mean, and equally being a nice person as well, that'll attract people, you'll attract players, and the way they play football is good as well. So,
well, I spoke to Georgia Tibble as well, who's that one of the players that I said, she came from Hastings United, which is a pay club, as you know, they are in the league below, saw what John's done, or whatever, she knows John, sees obviously what the men done, and you'll hear in the interview how they did. So let's hear from Georgia now.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Right, joining us, Georgia Tibble, new to the club this season. Georgia, welcome to the Rebel Yell Podcast. How have you found the club so far? We're a couple of months into the season now. Are you enjoying it?
I am enjoying it, yeah. It's been really good. I've worked with John before a little while, when I was about 17, 18, and came to him in pre-season, and obviously I knew what he was about and stuff. But yeah, so far, really enjoyed it, really got on with the girls and the staff. It's been really good. Nice start to the season as well.
No, unbeaten. I mean, can't have asked for any better, could you?
No, of course not. And obviously on the pitch it's been brilliant, and we're a great group of girls off the pitch as well, so yeah, it's been really enjoyable so far.
Well, you notice obviously last year, you know about John, he took over from Michelle, and you know, he got some girls from his previous clubs, and it was that bonding, and they did so well to build last season. But it seems like now you really are all starting to click really well with yourself as a new addition, others. So what do you think it is that's like clicking you all together? Do you think it is that goal that John set out, that you really want to push for the top this year?
Yeah, massively. I think all the girls that are here at the minute, they're really keen to do well, and they work very hard, and they love their football. And obviously when you're enjoying things go better anyway. Obviously winning makes that more enjoyable as well. So yeah, I think John set us some really good targets, and we're all excited to see how far we can go this season.
Yeah, well, you're enjoying it because you've got three goals, am I right? And quite a few assists, haven't you?
Yeah, fair few. I think I got three at the weekend, actually.
Yeah, it was just at the weekend you got three. So, you know, you clicked well, and you seem to have seamlessly slotted into the squad.
Yeah, massively. It's been really good, to be fair, and obviously a better start than what I could have almost hoped for as well. So it has been nice to come in and play well. It's been really good.
Yeah, so you came from Hastings United, which, as we know, was a club that pays their players and everything like that.
Yeah.
You must have, like, obviously Worthing is not like that. You must have just been sold to John's goal and like coming to the club. What is it that attracted you to Worthing? You know, was it the men's stuff, the season last year for the men's winning the Isthmian, obviously the facilities, the girls, is it all that sort of thing that sort of draw you to the club?
Yeah, massive. Obviously the men did amazingly well, and I think they've started their season quite well as well, by the sounds of it. Working with John previously, and obviously I know what he's about, and I know that he wants to go and win things, and obviously I'd like to. Everyone wants to win stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
And go and progress and play good football. And I knew a few of the girls before, So it has made the transition a little bit easier as well, which is really nice. But everything he wants to do here is everything that I want in my football. So
brilliant.
It made sense.
Yeah, no. So tell us about your football career. Where did you start? When did you get into the game? Did you always used to like watch football when you were younger and thought, oh, I want a bit of this, or you know, family play football or stuff like that?
My dad was very into his football. My brother's very into football. And my granddad.
What their team?
My granddad's a Millwall man.
I'm Charlton, so I don't know if I should be talking to you right now. But you can go and talk to Adam Hinchelwood, the men's mapper. He's a Millwall fan as well.
My granddad's Millwall through and through. And my dad's a Liverpool fan. I think one of the first outfits he bought me was a little Liverpool one. Yeah. But my dad told me as soon as I could walk, he put a football at my feet. Yeah. And I started off at Eastbourne Borough when I was tiny. And I've played football like pretty much every week ever since. But started at Borough. Went on to Brighton, moved on to Lewis. Mm-hmm. Obviously, spent a bit of time at Hastings and stuff, and now we're here. So, yeah, I've grown up with it, and I love it.
Yeah, and have you found, like, as you progress throughout your career, like, have you found differences in clubs? Like, for obviously the women winning the Euros in the summer must have been such a massive buzz for everyone in the country, but let alone you as a women's footballer hoping to encourage the next generation. Do you feel that as you've grown and gone through different teams, you felt it getting more and more professional, like the setups in the UK and stuff?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, since I was a kid, it has changed quite a lot, women's football and stuff, and obviously it's just growing and getting bigger and better. Yeah. And like you say, the Euros were massive, like, I don't think I've ever been in the stadium for women's football that had the atmosphere as what some of our games
did. Did you get to some of the games?
Yeah, I think I went to three of them.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Yeah, like I said, nothing I've ever seen like that until now. But massively. And obviously, I think people have started to put a little bit more respect on women's football. The standard of coaching, standard of playing has obviously gone up. And it's made a massive difference.
Well, I mean, they did what the men couldn't do, and they're the first ones to bring it home.
They did.
And as you say, like, more respect, because you seem to see less and less of the sexist comments coming out. You see on these, I mean, you still get the keyboard warriors, I think they're funny, but, you know, like, I think the women just shut them up like that. And, you just see, like, even, what was it the other week? Was it one of the women's teams played at their men's stadium and almost sold it out or something like that? And it's like, it just shows, it's Arsenal, wasn't it? Arsenal Spurs,
done it. I think Chelsea have sold out one of their games recently as well.
And that wouldn't have happened 5 years ago, would it?
No, not at all.
You know, I was watching.
People are starting to like love it and go and watch it, and obviously I think now that there is a bit more publicity on it as well, I think it's great for everything from the top all the way through to the bottom.
Like,
obviously it's great for kids that are wanting to get involved now. Obviously, like, pro careers maybe are an option when you're little now, so it's really good. Really good.
So what are your goals this season then? Obviously, I'm sure promotion is on the cards. That was sort of the dream of me. But like, what is it for you? What's your personal goals this season?
Personally, obviously it'd be nice to go and get promoted and stuff. And I think continue to work hard with John this year, the rest of the girls. We'd like to get promoted. We'll see how we go. But as long as we're...
Could it be a double men and women's promotion?
I mean,
that'd be a party in a half.
I was just about to say, imagine the after party.
It was bad enough last season. I have to show you the photos. Like, when we won the we were drinking out the trophy in the bar, but I don't know if I meant to say that. You know, it was an amazing experience. And it's just like, obviously, the club's changing and stuff like that. FA Cup, would you love a little run? Would you love to see a team like, imagine Man City at Woodside Road?
Who doesn't love a cup
run? Can you imagine
run?
That? You know?
Magic of the cup. It's brilliant, no matter who you're playing against, what level you're playing against, everything. So obviously, of course, like, it'd be nice to come up like against a side that maybe is positioned a little bit higher than us at the minute, preferably at home. That would be pretty amazing. Yeah,
I think you'd really get good. A big crowd though, because, like, you know, I said to Johnny, I'm not sure if you're when you're sitting, but when the youth played Charlton Youth, obviously a professional club, there was, I think, 800 or 900 people here watching it on a Tuesday night. So, you know, you get that. You get
that's
a bigger team.
And,
you know,
for,
you want
it.
You want that. That's the dreams you want. Before we wrap this up, we do it with all the players now. I want to know an interesting fact about yourself, and this is always stumps everyone. If you've got one on your tip of your tongue, it'd be amazing, but I like to surprise it on you so you don't have time to think.
That's an interesting fact about me.
I
build houses for a living.
Do you?
I do. Yeah.
Wicked. Where are you building at the moment?
East Grinstead.
So anyone looking in East Grinstead, you're a Worthing fan, Georgia could have built your house.
That's
really good. So don't injure yourself on the site now. We need you. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's all right. Georgia, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We finish, do you have any social media anyone can follow? Like, if you want any girls coming into football that, you know, you want to follow, ask you questions, stuff, are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think it's just Georgia Tibble.
Georgia Tibble, yeah. Fantastic. Right. Well, have a follow. Thank you very much. And we look forward to seeing what what you can do for the rest of the
season. Thank you very much, mate. Take it easy.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
As you said, it's probably like, you know, part of yourself, a testament to the club, that players, even in the women's team, are looking at stopping being paid to then come to Worthing where they're not paid at the moment because they see what's going on with the men's team, the ground, the setup, the coaching, the staff. And, you know, it's a testament to you, people like yourselves and the club. And it must be, when you hear stories like that and say, that's what attracts me, it must make you feel good.
Yeah, 100% does, mate. I mean, I remember I've got a photo on my Facebook of my first ever game here when I sat up here, took a photo of the ground, tagged myself here, and I looked over took a photo over towards the dugouts, and there was like 20 people all the way on the back there on a Saturday match day. That, I mean, you can't even see the bank majority of the time on match days now. But in terms of where the club's come, mate, and where it's been, it's fantastic. And I'm hoping the ladies push on and we can start getting some ladies' youth sides in here as well and really start pushing.
Well, as I said, we'd love to see the ladies' youth, I think, especially trying to build on the back of the Euros. But
yeah,
I did say to John, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I think the women's team got more than Chichester City did on a Saturday for their men's team.
It's fantastic.
I mean, they're only two steps below us, and yeah. I know, but that's a testament to John, the team. Yes, they're getting young girls as mascots that are coming back time after time with their parents. You know, yeah. I signed a young girl up to the Supporters Association.
Fantastic.
You know, her mum was asking me, do we have a girls' team? And I said, unfortunately, not at the moment, but I know it's in the plans, and I bet that's one thing you'd love to see as well.
100%, mate. Yeah, anything in terms of promoting the youth and coaching here, yeah, I'm fully behind it. But I think there's two things on that. I think it's obviously testament to John, but also testament to people like Ange as well.
And,
Ange works and Mike.
Oh God,
both work there. They're absolutely socks off to promote the ladies' team and the game and match days down here. So it's testament to people like that. Like I say, it's not just the players can do everything on the pitch, but they need to have the support behind them. In terms, not only like coaches, but you've got stewards, you've got everybody needs to be working to that same kind of point and that same end goal. And I think that's why everybody's doing so well at the moment, because I think everybody is working to that same goal, even those two foxes.
Yeah, foxes are trying to get in for free.
Mate, the amount of times I pick their stuff the pitch, man. Honestly.
You mean don't make Mr. Worthen Gareth do it?
No, Mr.
Oh, does he not do that?
Does not do that.
Yeah, you see them over there now. But we talk about looking at that bank where these foxes are running right now. You said you came, when you first came, you just saw 20 people and took a picture at the bank.
Yeah.
You know, probably, possibly by this time next year, maybe a little bit longer, that is going to look completely different.
Yeah.
And you know, exactly. And that's what, you know, the day we walk in here, we know there's the stand to the left of us right now. Something's got to be done because of capacity restraints, and the few's got to be done by the time of the season. Mm-hmm. That will look different by the end of this year.
Yeah.
I've heard about the plans. You would know about the plans for there. You know, this club is going to look, the ground will look phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah, like, man. It's not until you go to like an away ground sometimes you realise how lucky we've got it here, especially in the league below.
Wow, surprised. Some of the grounds we've been to in this are not great.
Yeah, exactly. And you, sometimes you sit back and think, how the hell do you even survive? But I mean, like I say, when I first joined the club to where it is now, it's completely different. And we've got people working behind the scenes, working people that look for grants and look for money. And like Ange and in particular Barry, that just work their socks off. Like, it's not just us, it's everybody really. So.
Yeah, and it's just going to go from strength to strength. Stu, it's been good to have you. I think you are now Mr. Worthing, in my opinion. Gareth can go and relegate himself, all right?
That's very kind.
Cool, very kind. Yeah. Enjoy being back on.
Do I get a badge at all?
Did you join a sports association?
I'll join it if I get a badge.
You do get a badge, £8. They're still available.
I have to pay for my own badge.
Yes.
It says Mr. Worthing on there.
No, it just says Sports Association member.
So are you going to get me a badge that says Mr. Worthing on it? Just final question.
Let's put it in the next committee meeting. Now I might get you a badge saying Mr. Worthing on it. Yeah, fantastic. I think we ought to do it. Remind me if I don't do it by Christmas is coming. There you go. I'll get you a big glittery like rosette or something with Mr. Worthing. Well, it's a bit rude if you ask for it. As a reminder, it is available still. Membership, £8 for adults, £5 for children. You do get a fantastic design badge that Spencer's sick to the back teeth of hearing about. Don't know why, but Spencer's not here to explain. We just had our AGM. The AGM was two new elected members. Said thanks to Stephen Stapley, who stepped down from vice chair and all his service in a supporters association. We've got two new committee members now, Matt and Alison, who's a steward here. They are on the committee now. So welcome to the supporters association committee. As usual, we'll be tweeting Rebel Yell WFCSA. Pete, I hope his teeth's better, don't you, Stu? Are you going to go and make sure he's got some?
Does that mean he might stop talking if his teeth's
well? The thing that I laugh about is
if it does.
You know for a fact this was a game tonight, Pete would have been here.
Yeah.
But I think it's better with Mr. Werbin tonight. So Pete, when you listen to this,
yeah, my voice has got to be better.
hopefully his voice. Well, you know, it could be one of those days that, you know, maybe he does a special commentary. Maybe if the women get further in the cup or something, you could be his co-commentator.
Yeah, mate, I'd love to. Yeah,
we can't get you on a match day because you're a little bit busy. But,
yeah,
you know,
it's a bit busy.
Oh, do we might come up with one of these because the range might be good enough.
You might have a few beeps to put on.
Oh, no,
we'll
just put it on a live stream. Yeah, I can imagine. So you know, you don't really want to be saying that, to repeating any of the words you're saying on here.
No, definitely not.
Stu, it's been a pleasure. Looking forward to seeing October. If we're here in November talking, and we're still unbeaten.
I hope we're going to be here.
Well, I hope we're going to be here, mate. Well, be here.
Well,
but yeah, no.
It's been nice seeing you, mate.
No, COVID's gone. It's not that anymore. If we're here talking about being unbeaten still in November, that's a pretty amazing achievement. And I guess you're going to have many more stories and hopefully memory made over the next month. And so we are at the end of...
Every match day is a memory.
At the end of October. Stu, thanks once again. Please do listen to us on Spotify. Tag us on Rebel Yell WCSA. Keep day for match days, live match day with Pete. And we will see you next month. Hopefully unbeaten. Girls further in the cup. It'll be nice, won't it, Stu?
100%.
Thanks, everyone. Stay safe.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.